Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of Change, and it's always a pleasure to host a guest who's kind of in that same change leadership space that I am, and particularly on this show, we often talk about focusing on the Fs to get an A when you're in transition, and those Fs are your faith, your family, your fun, your friends, your food, your fitness, and your focus on others. And I venture to say that Os Hillman, my next guest, is certainly going to hit on the faith quadrant, but also the focus on others. So welcome to the show, Os. How are you today?
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. Well, let me give me a brief introduction. Os is president of Marketplace Leaders, which is an organization whose purpose is to help men and women discover and fulfill God's complete purposes through their work and to view their work truly as their ministry. Os is an internationally recognized speaker on the subject of faith at work. He is also the author of 13 books and a daily email devotional called, and I love this, TGIF, Today, God is First, which has over 250,000 daily subscribers worldwide. Os's new book is Change Agent, Engaging Your Passion to Be the One Who Makes a Difference, which is the learnings also available through an intensive weekend training session and a DVD video course. Os has been featured on CNBC, NBC, and the LA Times, New York Times, and many other national media as a spokesperson on faith at work. He attended the University of South Carolina and Calvary Chapel Bible School, a ministry of the Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California. And based now outside of Atlanta, Os is also president of Aslan Incorporated, which provides a leading online bookstore to serve the Faith at Work movement. So again, welcome and congratulations on here your 13th book.
Yeah, exciting. I think this one is really a culmination of the last 25 years. There's so much of everything that I've learned over that time in this one book.
In fact, I was going to ask you that. How long did it take you to write this book? And I know what the answer would probably be, you know, 2 months and 25 years, something like that, right?
That's right. That's really true, isn't it?
Well, now, it's relatively new on the stands, shall we say, but can you give us any early indications of the reaction so far, Os?
Oh, everybody who reads it just really gets a tremendous out of it, because it seems to address so many different areas of people's lives, from the aspect of calling to adversity to processes God takes us through to understanding where the culture is, how to change culture, and where we are in the culture. I mean, it's pretty loaded.
Yeah, indeed. You know, I think we probably should start right there with that word culture, because I think it bears some time to define that. And then from that, then how your book kind of wraps around the different tenets of culture. Explain that word, if you would.
Well, over the last several years, I've been noticing how much we've been losing the culture and losing the foundations that made our nation so great. And it just continues to erode and erode. And as I began to look at the statistics of culture, and that is, you know, what do we believe and what's the value system in the world mm-hmm. we live in right now? You know, I was shocked when I found that George Barna had done research on this and said that 19% of Christians have a biblical worldview. Mm-hmm. And of the 20-something, less than 4% have a biblical worldview. And that's quite disturbing, and as you look at where we are very much moving toward Europe as a secularized society. If there's not some type of tipping point where some change agents come and stand in the gap and help us move this thing going a different direction.
I love that term, stand in the gap. I recently heard that also referenced, and that calls for a tremendous amount of courage, doesn't it?
Well, it does, you know, and we're talking about Ezekiel 22:30, where he's talking about, I look for a man or woman who would stand in the gap that I might not destroy the culture. You know, mm-hmm. that's a yeah. very ominous statement. And a lot of times we refer to that verse as an intercession verse. But really, I think it's much more than that. I think it's about standing in the gap of the culture to where you become an influence, salt and light, or a change agent in the culture to be a tipping point, you know, for the other way.
Yeah, well said. And I think this idea of standing in the gap, I mean, it's not like standing in the abyss, but rather standing in a firm place where you can kind of extend your arms or extend your philosophies that bridge across groups of individuals or dynamics that just aren't matched any longer.
Exactly. I love what's been going on here lately with Tim Tebow. I mean, he's literally standing in the gap on the top of a cultural mountain of football and the NFL, where it's a very tough sport. I mean, what courage this guy has to take a stand and yet do it the right way. I'm really applaud him. And he's a change agent, certainly, in our culture.
That's right. Now, I know in the course of your writing your book throughout it, you've got it nicely structured against some terminology that I don't know that everybody's conversant in, and that's this metaphor of the seven mountains, the mountains that really make up the culture. And even the choice of the word mountain, this idea that you're standing upon a pinnacle of something that would influence so much on the field of view. Give us a sense of those seven mountains and how it was you came to even kind of guide your book through that metaphor.
Sure. You know, that really goes back to something that happened with Bill Bright and Lauren Cunningham. Bill Bright with Campus Crusade, Lauren Cunningham with Youth with a Mission in 1975. They met for the first time, and during their meeting, God had spoken to both of them independently that if we're going to shift the culture or win the culture, it has to be through these seven spheres or mind molders or mountains. A lot of people call them gates, a lot of different terminology, but they are business, government, arts and entertainment, media, education, religion, and family. And these are the areas that seem to most define what we believe about the culture and shape the culture. And the general premise is that if we can have the greatest influence in these seven areas, we have the greatest ability to shift the culture in the way that we would like to see it go in terms of really manifesting God's presence in that culture. And so this is what that means. And, you know, there's a verse in Isaiah 2:2 says, all nations will come under the mountain of the Lord. And so there are some terminology in the scriptures about mountains and influential areas of culture.
Certainly. And then I know the one point that's really mentioned in your books, and for those of you who've just tuned in, I have Os Hillman with me. He's the leader behind marketplaceleaders.org, as well as a new book called Change Agent, Engaging Your Passion to be the one who makes a difference. Os, you really drive home the point that why certainly we need grassroots efforts to make, you know, civil society changes and the like. It really calls upon those who are sitting atop the mountain or the leaders to take that bigger step, doesn't it, and to really guide the shift.
Well, what I didn't realize is that, you know, for many decades, Christianity has operated under the premise that if we just have more Christians in the culture, we'll change the culture. And the problem is that's a flawed belief. Really, what we realize is that culture can be shifted as little as 3 to 5% of a leadership operating at the top of a cultural mountain. And this was cited by Randall Collins, who wrote a book on secular sociology. And he found that even the entire world was mostly influenced by about 3,500 people since 600 BC. I mean, it's a really, really a top-down situation. And I give a case study in there about really the movement has shifted the culture by operating at the top of the arts and entertainment and media mountain for many decades now. 20 years ago, you'd have never had the beliefs and values that people have about that issue as you do now. And the primary reason for that not only is dysfunction in families and the divorce rate, but also their ability to shift the mindset by having people in Hollywood playing in roles in different ways of portraying their issue in a positive light.
That's right. And, you know, if you step back and look at a bigger venue, I mean, part of my business and what I'm all about is helping companies change or organization change. And as we always know, you have to start from the top and then roll down, you know, whether it be goals and objectives or, you know, engagement with people to make changes happen. So I think this idea that 3,500 people guide so much on a global basis, you know, time and time again, you see that. Well, Oz, take us back, if you would, a little bit, if you won't mind my going and asking a little bit of a personal question on your own journey. Where was it, do you think, in your own life steps that you realized this calling to actually, you know, create marketplace leaders or recognize that the power of our work really is our calling, whether you choose to be a minister or, like me, being a change leadership consultant?
Well, it was the last thing on my mind or the last thing I cared about, actually. I, like many change agents, they're drafted into something out of a crisis or some type of an event in their life. And for me, it was the same. I went through a 7-year pit experience, as I call it, in the 1994 to 2001. And it started out the first 3 months where I lost over $500,000, 80% of my business, had a marriage crisis. And that ushered me into a real season of, I call it my Joseph season of 7 years. And it was during that time that God really allowed me to understand some of the roots of that, really understand what he was trying to do in my life. As I sought him really with a whole heart, he really revealed things to me and then started connecting me with people. And as I began studying the scriptures, so much came from that. And then I started writing that daily devotional, TGIF, Today God Is First, in 1999. And I would get a scripture verse and an application to the workplace for every day. And as a result of that, it caught on and began to spread by word of mouth and by email. And now it goes to 250,000 people a day by email. And we've never really promoted it. It's just been word of mouth. And so that was kind of how he launched me into this, and sort of I just began writing more and more from that experience.
You know, it's an interesting dynamic. Like we said, I think you and I were joking. Of course, our listeners should know it took Oz and I quite a while to get connected here for this interview because we kept trading different time zones when we were going to do a record, et cetera, which was kind of laughable how technology can sometimes get in our way. But on the flip of that, right, on the flip of that, we had another author who came on the show, and she had written an article about, you know, 45 life lessons, da-da-da-da-da. And her one email message that she had published as a column in the Cleveland Plain Dealer went viral on the internet. It prompted her then to write a book that now is published in 20 countries, and she's just taken on her second book. So, you know, who would have thought that that TGIF, do you remember the first message that you put out, by the way? Do you recall what the first one was?
I really don't.
You don't?
I've literally done over 750 of those messages because we've got now TGIF 1 and 2. And so it's just, but what's amazing is what people respond to.
Yeah.
They constantly say the same thing, always the same thing. You read my mail today. This is right where I'm at.
Yep. I used to, in fact, another colleague of yours in the general ministry, I used to listen to the radio broadcast of a TGIF type thing. And there were a couple times I literally had to pull my car off the side of the road because I thought for sure someone called upstairs 911 and said, play this one for Larson. She isn't listening, you know, to the point that the minister even used a joke or an anecdote that I had used the day before. It was one of those,
yeah,
you know, woo-woo things.
Stories like that, yeah.
Yeah, so the idea, though, I think, Oz, where I was wanting to ask you specifically is the whole idea of really the marketplace for what we believe and bringing our faith to work, wherever that means. It's been interesting to watch the openness and the shift now in companies that, you know, not so much as 5 years ago that just kind of wasn't done. Whether it be to use a company conference room for a get-together with colleagues in need, all the way up to something perhaps more formal of, indeed, scripture readings and like. But I sensed, from my corporate vantage point, a shift and an openness to that. And I'm wondering if that isn't, you know, kind of finally the time has come where it's coming back, or also that the times in general we're in right now, are we reawakening people's realization on getting back to the fundamentals of our culture, as you would say?
Yeah, I think a little bit of everything is going on. I think that in the early 2000s, we did, for several years, this whole faith at work message began to resonate. And actually, it a lot, had a lot to do with the very first election of George Bush in his first term, because the media really took note at how evangelicals played a big role in that election. And as a result, we had more interviews and media interviews around faith and work in the marketplace.
That's true.
For like 2 or 3 years. And so I think we sort of broke through some ground of this sacred secular hierarchy in the church, you know, a good bit there. We still got a long way to go, but certainly there was some ground taken back during that season. And I think over the last, you know, decade, we've seen more and more where people have got that message and they've got the theology of work message. Now they're wondering, okay, what's next? And that's why I think Change Agent gives them that next step.
Mm-hmm. Well, back to the seven mountains again. You've got business, government, media, arts and entertainment, education, the family, and the church or religion. You made reference to arts and entertainment. That one's so glaring at us. But, you know, the other one that really strikes me is media. I mean, obviously, our whole Circles of Change radio show, truth be told, the genesis of that was in part my anger at, or wrestling with my dissatisfaction, that's a more politically correct way to say it, with all the screamer radio out there. And I said, you know, I've got to do my part and establish a show that's grounded in positive and pragmatic advice and insightful stories, messages such as you and our other guests offer, to try to discount that other piece. But, you know, talk about being in the gap. It's a big challenge.
Well, the media has changed so much in the last decade, you know, and it seems like the polarization between media and the values have gotten greater and greater. You know, I've just watched the very, very clear distinction growing in the media. And then I like to say in those seven mountains, media, arts and entertainment, and education have the most importance as it relates to defining what you believe.
Yeah.
I have a friend that was head of news for one of the three news networks, and I was in New York walking through the studio, and she turned to me and she says, Osh, you'd be shocked. Less than 100 people control all the media. And then she also made a statement that shocked me. She says, we tell you what to believe every day. And I said, wow, that's a lot of power. And, you know, and a lot of people just view that way, and they don't, are not discerning about what they're watching every day. And so values get expressed through the media in a lot of different and a lot, sometimes aggressive, sometimes subtle ways.
Although I would say that the term media no longer is just the conventional first screen, meaning the television and radio, right? Because
exactly.
Now the power of the internet, whether that be YouTube,
exactly.
Or I look at my children who actually watch no TV, except the Food Channel and every now and then HGTV to find out International House Hunters, but, you know, and they're teens. And so what it's telling you, though, they're choosing their content through different ways, which still requires, though, a level of maybe even more sophistication for those of us guiding our youth to be mindful of that.
Oh, yeah, it does. You know, the viral nature of things is just amazing. You have pop stars birthed overnight, you know, mm-hmm. like Justin Bieber, and then you have nations being shaped because of Facebook and all of these areas. So it's actually an exciting time to live, to where you can make an impact. And that's why a lot of people think, oh, I can only be a change agent if I'm a CEO of something. And that, you know, really is not true, because you look at how people can use social media and different platforms to make impacts through their own circle.
Yeah, that's very, very true. So I hear you loud and clear, the media, arts and entertainment and education shaping so much of what we believe. But, you know, you still come back to some of those big foundational things that have shaped all of our lives, and that would be the role of the family and certainly the role of the church.
Well, absolutely. You know, I think that when we do a hierarchy, we have a chart on the seven mountains, and we place the family at the lower part where the foundation is, because if we lose the family, we really lose everything. And we have been under a situation for the last several decades where, you know, the divorce rate has so affected our culture. And a lot of times I tell people, I said, look, if you're concerned about kind of the what's going on with the gay legislation, let me challenge you that the thing that we need to be more concerned about is the divorce rate in the church, because the divorce rate is really, you know, with over 50%, you know, compared to, what, 5% in the 50s?
Right, exactly.
You know, we're basically a manufacturing facility for dysfunction in society, you know, and until we address that, if we had a 3% divorce rate, you would have healthy families. You'd have people that are growing up healthy and do not have, you know, fall into problems where they're wounded growing up.
Carry that not just from the family perspective, but then the whole process of career selection, you know, or whether to be in public service or in charity service to others, to serve in government or work in business. It all comes back to that fundamental of allowing our youth the opportunity to understand and make choices, you know, on their own. Well, Oz, so I had mentioned in the introduction, of course, that you have your book, and which folks, by the way, again, it's Change Agent, Engaging Your Passion to Be the One Who Makes a Difference. You can learn more about the book specifically at changeagentbook.com, as well as Oz's organization, which is marketplaceleaders.org. But I know you also offer a round of seminars, correct, as well as a DVD series?
Exactly. I'm really excited about our DVD Change Agent video course that we have done, and that is very exciting. It has over 20 sessions that go along with the book, and we recorded it with 50 people in a live audience.
Wonderful, yeah.
And it's a very high-quality project, and it's great for small groups in a church or a marketplace group. If you want to do 30-minute sessions or one-hour sessions, it's perfect for that, and we actually have a website for that. It's called changeagentvideocourse.com.
Right. So taking advantage of all the different venues and all the mountains yourself to bring this good word. Well, Oz Hillman, thank you so very much for joining us on Circles of Change with your book about the change agent. We wish you all the best.
Thank you.
You bet. It's a pleasure. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.